The following program, Bits, Rhymes, and Life, is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey guys, this episode of Bits, Rhymes, and Life is going to be a little bit different. It's all about binge gaming. We're going to have some stories from myself as well as some very good friends of mine. All about times where you let the gaming go a little too far. So in this one, which will be called I'm Not a Binger, I Just Game a Lot, we're going to share those stories. Some of them pretty embarrassing.
The Nerdy Show Network, Megaran and GamerDoc, present Bits, Rhymes, and Life.
You're my darling, darling baby. You're my darling, darling love. I said you're everything I ever hoped for in a moment. And as long as I may live.
My earliest super binge gaming moment, or at least the most recent one, had to be the year 2000, when Xbox was the new thing.
The program around this thing is really quite phenomenal. But the box itself is another thing that we put a lot of energy into. So you may have been wondering what this draped device was here. This is the Xbox.
I worked at GameStop at the time, and I think I traded in everything that I possibly could to get a hold of an Xbox system in, I believe, the November that it came out. But Halo was the game of choice, and I put in so many hours on Halo that I could probably play through Halo 1 blindfolded and do decently, I think. Now, I knew those maps in and out. And it's all because of Christmas Day of 2000, where we had all of my friends coming over. And I had about maybe 12 people at the house. Good thing about being an only child is, you know, you really do get to, you relish those moments when you get to hang out with a whole lot of people. And so Christmas is one of those times, and my mom was usually cool about it. You know, once in a while she'd say, "Get all these children out of my house. If I wanted a bunch of kids, I would have had a bunch of kids." But eventually she became cool with the idea of me having kids over to play games, because she felt a lot more comfortable doing that in her house, I guess, than to have me go to some other place and do it. So I got about 10 to 12 kids at the house playing Halo. We're four-player gaming it up, going in all night long. I mean, it turns out we start about noon, and honestly, I feel like we played so much, and I remember one particular, my friend Chuck, John Bapp, getting a phone call from his mom, maybe about 9 p.m., and she's like,
"Do you want to eat dinner?"
And he's like,
"Nah, I'm not hungry."
And she's like,
"You okay? Like, it's been like 8 hours. You've been out playing this game. Are you all right?"
And he's like,
"Yeah, it's fine, it's fine."
So he gets off the phone and gets back onto the game. And we're just continually playing. No one's coming up for air. There's no chance to look outside or anything to see that it's dark. And by the time we eventually did stop playing, I remember it being about 5 a.m. because we looked outside and the sun was coming up. And everybody was hungry suddenly. It's like once you stop, then you realize that you've been neglecting yourself from nourishment. And so we would make these trips to 7-Eleven because, of course, that was the only thing open. So that became a bit of a ritual during Halo periods. We would start and play at least a minimum of 7 or 8 hours. And then by that time, every store is closed. So you got to hit a 24-hour joint. And in the hood, there were two 24-hour joints. So you had the 7-Eleven, but you also had the Crown Fried Chicken. Or even once in a while, you had the Chinese store, but Chinese stores usually closed at 2, so you were out of luck. But Crown Fried Chicken, I think, was open a little later, so you could always get your fried chicken late at night, or your Mountain Dew beef jerky and gummy bears and Skittles, you know. There was never any healthy options in the city, but at that time of night, there's almost never a healthy option. But I can remember going ham on Blood Gulch. I'm about to go ham, hard as a motherfucker, let me know who I am. I'm about to go ham, hard as a motherfucker, let me know who I am. Going so hard, and to the point where I would stop. I don't know if it was anybody else, but I would stop and have to stop playing because I couldn't see. I would just have to blink my eyes a million times just to keep my eyes closed for a few seconds because I just couldn't see anything.
I cannot see. I'm legally blind. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I'm innocent.
So you can't see at all?
Huh?
You can see though, right?
I'm legally blind. I can see barely. But Mama, I love you. P.O.P. All the time. Right there, all good pimp squad, baby.
And of course, I never told my friends that or backed away from the game or anything, because nah, man, like, you know, you're not a punk, you can't do that. So we would just keep on playing, man, and I'd be like literally going blind in front of my television set in order to, you know, sniping cats and somehow still managing to place top three. You know, if you, usually we would do top three stayed on, or at least top two would stay on and everybody else would swap out. But and I would always manage to be top two or three, and somehow, even blind. But anyway, we're going to go into some stories from some good friends of mine. Jason, Doug Funny Phillips, and Emmanuel, 1UP Creative Mind Frame Awad. So maybe you see a bit of yourself in those. Enjoy. And remember, I'm not a gamer. I just binge a lot.
Yo, it's Doug Funny checking in. So, yeah, I was, you know, I was gaming a lot when I was a little kid. I really didn't think I was really good. You know, I was just playing games casually and just took my time with it, like Zelda games, Super Mario, Sonic, things like that. But I really want to step my game up, literally, when I first saw the speedrun for Super Mario 3. Dude did it in like 11 minutes, and it was like E-Bomb's World when I was a kid. And I always thought, like, when I grow older, I definitely want to do some things like that, but I didn't think I was like that up or that great at my gaming, you know what I mean? So you know, so fast forward, you know, many years later, and I run into this same thing where a guy speed run for charity, and it was called Awesome Games Done Quickly. And I saw a lot of guys who were just knocking those things out, and they'd raise a lot of money for Children's Hospital, and I wanted to be a part of something like that. So I looked around locally to see if anyone was doing anything like that, and I come to find out my friend Lobos of the Gimmicks, who actually does this in Austin, which is not even that far away from me here in Dallas. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, man, I definitely want to be a part of something like this. This is definitely something right up my alley. He's like, yeah, definitely, for sure, man. What game do you want to speedrun for charity? I was like, man, that's a lot of games. There's a lot of games I could put on my category. So I went through my entire catalog, you know, and see which games I could do. That Metal Gear, nah, it's going to take 3 hours. Like, a lot of games took a lot of time. And I saw one of the old school games I played a lot as a kid was Super Mario 2. So I picked that. I was like, I think I can run that less than 20 minutes. I think I can run through it. He's like, all right, cool. I put you down for this date. You can do it in 20 minutes. I would expect you to beat that. So when he put me down, I had like really 2 months to knock it out, to be ready, to be live at his place in Austin, which is on his Twitch, which is, you know, you can find him at Lobos Jr. So, you know, I went back to the lab, you know, hyped up my Super Nintendo version of the game and, you know, practice it day in, day out, sweating hard, get my Rocky montage on, getting that Eye of the Tiger soundtrack playing in the background. So it was really a learning process to figure out a lot of the tips and tricks, a lot of catch release for the game. But overall, I learned it, knocked it out in 12 minutes, roughly. The record was about 9, so I thought I did pretty good. So we go there for the speedrun, and I'm sweating bullets, right? And I have my PlayStation Portable hack to play emulated games, which in this case, I had my Super Mario 2. While everyone else is speedrunning their games, I am still trying to be ready, rust out of my gaming. So I was ready to go. They called me up. I sat in the chair. And they asked me,
"Hey, Doug, you brought your game?"
Crap! Oh, no, I did not. I completely forgot the game. And since I live in Dallas, it's not like a drive down the street. It's a 3-hour drive there and drive back. And it was like 11 p.m. All the stores are closed, especially retro gaming. I was out of luck. And they were like,
"Well, you can play the NES version of the game."
Sure. Shouldn't be any different. So we start the game. Level 1-1. I do it, no problem. You know, feeling like a boss. -1, 1-2, there's a trick in the game. If you ever played the game, there's a way to actually jump throughout the entire level to get to Dodo Bird. We get complete near the end of the game. Now, there's a lot of warps in the game. In 1-3, you warp to World 4. World 4, you get to World 7. Now, World 7, there's a boss that you have to go through, which is like a three-headed snake. How I beat this boss, I hold down the down button, and then you're able to do a super jump and throw a block towards the main boss. Now, in the Super Nintendo version, this is possible to hold a object in your hand as you do the super jump. And when you jump, you still hold the object and throw it at the person. In the NES version, this is not possible. So when I got to this boss, I'm trying to do the super jump and jump all the way over his attacks and throw the block. I automatically throw the block when I jump. So this completely messes up my speed run. I die there and game over. So I was really bummed out at this point, like, man, I did this for the kids and I wasn't able to pull through. But my friend Lewis come through later on and brought the Super Nintendo cart, which was great for me. So I had a redemption time. So I played through the game. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Ran through it 12 minutes, no problem. So we say we got a lot of money for the Children's Hospital in Austin. And it was really a great thing to do to know that, you know, my gaming skills can be honed into something positive and helping children. Doug Funny signing out.
Hey, party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Megaran are doing now, and it involves you, the fans. Myself and Megaran launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Thank you.
What up, everybody? It's 1UP Creative Mindframe here. Just got a message from Kay Murdoch to share about our gaming binges. I'm going to try and keep it kind of short because I have a huge problem with gaming. I'm addicted to a lot of different games. And I mean, I can even think back to playing like Counter-Strike and having LAN parties. It's where my friend's parents would come down in the morning to like clean up and we'd still be sitting there playing. But what I'm going to talk about today is my huge gaming affection for Square Enix. I think the first RPG that I played from Square was Final Fantasy VII. And it was really funny because I think I was in like fifth grade and I didn't have a memory card. So I got really good at beating the first two discs all the way through. And I would like ask my parents to get me a memory card. And you know, they're Africans, so they want to like know where all their money's going to. So they'd be like,
I don't understand why I have to buy you this card. You have the game, just play the game. And I'm like, but I got it. And like, well, who is going to pay for this? Do you think money grows on trees?
So I would sit and play for like, I think the first two discs were what, 10 hours a disc? So I would just get up and play like all summer break. I would play like the first two discs. You know, 1 week I'd play Monday just straight through and then go to sleep. Then the next week I'd play again. And I think that was like conditioning myself for speed runs. Yeah, that's the first like binge that I had in an RPG. And then my freshman year in high school, one of my buddies let me borrow Final Fantasy IX. And at this point, I did have a memory card. But I get so like caught up in the whole game and, you know, the storyline. And this is my problem with like watching Netflix series all in one sitting, because when something dramatic happens, I have to know what happens next. And if it's available to me, I will forego sleep, which is what I did. I played through Final Fantasy IX in one sitting. I think it took me 34 or 37 hours, but I didn't do any of like the side quests. I just played straight through. And I think I started playing sometime in the afternoon. So my parents were both at work, and I took one of the TVs out to the dining room, and I took my PlayStation out there. And so my parents come home from work. My mom makes dinner. You know, I don't really break from playing to eat dinner. I just grab a bowl and sit back down, and I'm just playing while I'm running through. And they go to sleep. I'm still sitting there. They wake up the next morning to go to work at like 6 or 6:30. I'm still sitting there. So that would have been what? That was only like 18 hours. And so they come back from work at like 5 or so. And then, yeah, it had to have been close to 40 hours, because the next day when they went to work, I was still sitting there, still wearing the same t-shirt, still wearing the same shorts. You know how high schoolers are really disgustingly gross. But the final boss was a little anticlimactic. I was a little disappointed that I think it took 2 times through to beat him. And at that point, you know, I was like, okay, come on, man. You got me sitting hooked on this game, playing it for, you know, almost 40 hours straight, and then you're going to let me beat the final boss that quick? I don't know. Maybe it gave me some sort of like level boost because I had been playing straight through. It was like, yes, this kid is sad. Let's just go ahead and let him win. But yeah, and like my parents didn't even bat an eye. I think they were so used to it at this point that that they didn't even second guess it. They were just like, oh, this is this kid that plays Super Nintendo games all the time.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own.
I would swap between playing games for 40 hours or going outside and playing for like 10 hours at a time. But yeah, so that was one of the problems. And then even worse, Kingdom Hearts. So I had another problem. My senior year in high school, I went to Cleveland, and I was trying to like stock up some cash for college. So I was working two jobs. I get up at like 5:30, go do one job, go straight to my other job at like 6, and I was bar backing, and I'd get back at like 3 and then do it again during the week. And so Saturday I only worked the bar, And then Sunday, I had off. And so, like, on Friday when I came back, I would sleep for, like, 12 hours straight to, like, recoup on the sleep. And then I would go to the bar, work, and then I would go to sleep when I got back from the bar on Saturday night. And I'd wake up maybe around, like, 10 or 11. And then I would just play Kingdom Hearts for, like, 8 hours straight. And I was staying with my dad's aunt. And, like... She, like, told my parents, I think she told my dad that I was playing too many games, and he's just like, you know, he's just like, oh, I'm kind of apathetic. He didn't really care, but.
Well, that may look like fun and games, but the problem is people are spending 10 to 12 hours a day addicted to living in virtual fantasy worlds just like that, instead of paying attention to their real lives. Even young children are becoming addicted to video games. Nintendo, Xbox, you name it, they are playing it instead of spending time on the playground. This is creating virtual chaos in homes all across America, and that's what I'm going to deal with today, starting right now.
I don't know. Like I said, I want to keep it short, and I don't want to take up all of this podcast, but I have just many games that I binge on. I still do Destiny. I will still watch whole like anime series in one weekend, but fortunately my girlfriend hasn't left me yet, and you know, bless her heart for putting up with it. But yeah, that's one of 1UP's many binge stories.
Thanks for listening to Bits, Rhymes, and Life, presented by The Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. Bits, Rhymes, and Life is hosted and narrated by Raheem Megaran Jarbo, with production and sound design by me, Kyle K. Murdoch. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head on over to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships for more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness. Visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show at Nerdy Show on your favorite social networks. And you can find out more about the video game and hip-hop collaborations myself and Megaran do at bitsandrhymes.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.